It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters.
And we got more proof over the past week that you're listening closely. In a story about the electricity shortage in Iraq, we said that temperatures there can reach as high as 140 degrees.
Well, we were off by quite a bit. The highest temperature ever recorded anywhere is 136, thanks to John Murr Rame of Charlotte, North Carolina, for pointing that out. For the record, Baghdad in the middle of summer averages 110 degrees.
That's still pretty warm. On to listener Marnon Leibow-Kozer, who says he heard something funny in our report on file sharing.
We use the terms the internet and the web interchangeably.
In fact, the two are not the same thing, he writes. The internet is a worldwide computer network developed in the 1970s and 1980s. The World Wide Web was developed later and is merely the most popular of many applications using the internet. He continues, file sharing of the sort covered in your report is a completely separate use of the internet, so it's not correct to speak of programs sharing files over the web. Rather, you should have said that they share files over the internet.
My interview with author Diana Abu Jaber prompted some email. We talked about her book, The Language of Baklava. It's billed as a memoir, but Abu Jaber said that she had shifted locations and timelines and even merged characters to help the story.
I was shocked, writes listener Brian Bilta. Haven't we learned anything from the recent onslaught of journalists making up quotes, people, and events? Has Jason Blair taught us nothing? Abu Jaber's book is untrustworthy, and that's a shame because it was a delicious book, one that now leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
And Laura Wexler of Baltimore, Maryland writes that there was no follow-up question seemed to indicate that NPR agrees with Ms. Abu Jaber's actions, or at least believes that hers are commonly held ideas about the aim and craft of memoir. They're not. As both a teacher of memoir and a nonfiction writer, I can tell you that many of us are seeking to tell the truth and tell a good story. Here's a novel idea. Abu Jaber's memoir should be in the fiction section.
We had plenty of praise for Melissa's piece about old recordings of steam trains.
That's one of O. Winston Link's recordings done in the 1950s. I spoke with his assistant on that project, who's now the curator of the O. Winston Link Museum.
Those sounds brought back memories for lots of listeners. Here are a few.
I heard the broadcast here in Australia, writes Wal Glynn. I am 71 years young, and I'm a former railway man in Bendigo, Victoria, in southeastern Australia. Steam engines sound the same wherever you were born, and I absolutely loved this broadcast.
And here's a memory from Colleen King of St. Petersburg, Florida. My dad and brother worked on the Pennsylvania Railroad in the 40s. As a child, I remember sitting in the engine with the privilege of blowing the whistle. I never thought I'd hear that sound again.
Nicholas Page of Faber, Virginia writes, when I was growing up in suburban Cleveland, at night while lying in bed, I could clearly hear the steam locomotives of the Nickel Plate Railroad struggling to get long freights out of town. Sometimes they would slip their wheels, resulting in a great rush of chuffing until traction was regained and the methodically paced chuffs would resume.
We appreciate hearing from you. Send your thoughts to atc@npr.org and don't forget to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.